Thank you, Lord, for this evening. We love you and we need you desperately. We ask you to really just give us help here in both of these talks that we give, that they would nonetheless, short as they are, they would penetrate and really help us in strategic areas of our thinking, understanding. So we're honored, Lord, to be your children, and we love you. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, man, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 5, or actually 6. We'll start with 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Really, the short message that I wish to give you is wrapped up in one short phrase. However, we're going to look at how the Apostle Paul gets to this phrase. It's found in verse 18. In the New American Standard Bible, it's really just two words. It may be more words in your translation. But let's look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18, the first two words, and they are, in my Bible, flee immorality. Flee immorality. And that's really the message I want to give you tonight. Flee immorality. Years ago, when I was in South Africa, I'd been preaching. I had 8 weeks of solid preaching, with 1 week in the middle that we had off, so for resting because it was a tough schedule. And I was staying in the home of a fairly wealthy man. Actually, he was a lawyer, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "Let's get in the airplane that our company owns. And let's have the pilot fly us over to Botswana and, let's go to the game reserve in Kasani there, the huge game reserve. There are 45,000 elephants in this game reserve." And it was a safari guy that we would stay with, so he had freedoms to get in at night, which is something you don't normally get to do, and to get out of the vehicle. So there was those two freedoms I had never had the privilege to have before in anything like that. So this is an incredible, opportunity to do this. So we were there a few days, and one night we were down by the Chobe River, and it was dusk, and we were watching the animals coming down to the water to the river to get their drinks for the evening, whatever they do. And you just can watch the silhouettes coming down. It's really fantastic, just an incredible sight. And we started to feel the ground pounding. We were on a little, there was a little hill, a little hillock. Do you call it a hillock? Just a little hill there right next to us. And the ground was just, you just felt like it was moving. And we looked up all of a sudden, and just about between here and no more at least than the end of that pew over there, a bull elephant appeared. And he was angry. Now, the bull elephants they lead the pack of the other girls, and they're really, can get really angry. And when they start shaking their heads like that, you can be in trouble real quick, and they can move fast. They may not look like it, but they can move very fast. Well, the safari guy that I was with, and it was just the two of us that evening, he said, "Don't move." And he slowly reached down to pick up a big stone. And you know what I did? I ran like the dickens. I mean, I just ran as fast as I possibly could. I don't know exactly, can't even remember now where I ended up. We never talked about what I did. And I don't know if he threw the rock. I was afraid to ask him. But that is the kind of fleeing that the Apostle Paul is talking about. That's the kind of fleeing. What he means by this is instinctively build into your thinking that when you run across those things that will compromise you morally, like Joseph, you flee. Flee for your life, because that's really what's at stake. Flee from immorality. Now, men, and boys coming up to be men, you're going to have opportunity to see things that will make imprints on your mind. You'll never be able to get them off your mind. You're going to have opportunities Some of you are going to carry iPhones around. My assistant says an iPhone can be, if you're not careful, can be, not always. A lot of responsible people carry them around. But it can be a pocket prostitute for the price of a phone bill. I'm telling you, coming up with things to stimulate your mind, men and even boys, is going to be something you're going to face, and you men know that you face it consistently. Some of you are under bondage, possibly, to things like this, and you have not been fleeing from immorality. Immorality of the mind, some of you maybe, I don't know, let's hope God spare us, but let's hope it's not beyond that. But wickedness abounds, and it's not getting any better, is it, men? So what we have to do is learn to flee immorality. And what I want to do is, real quick, in 15 minutes or so, I want to build a quick case for why you need to flee immorality. The first part of the case comes from chapter 5. Now, just glance at it, because I'm not going to be able to read everything I'd hope to read and discuss with you. But in chapter 5, it's the story of the incestuous man, a case of immorality of the worst possible sort. And the Corinthian church was not acting correctly. The Apostle Paul was straightening them out about the severity of the issue and what they needed to do. And he uses very strong language, such as deliver them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, or clean out the old leaven, or the last thing he says is expel them from your midst. Now, here's the first point I want to make to you. Here's a good reason for you to flee immorality in your life. If you're part of a loving church, they're not going to let you get by with that without some pain. I mean, they're not going to just give you a free pass to be an immoral thinker or an immoral actor. So just count on that. And I think this is that kind of church, that this is not going to be something you're going to be able to get into and get out with ease apart from, I mean, you'll have to repent. And that's what church discipline is all about. And that's what that section of scripture is all about. That's the first reason I think it's wise for you to flee immorality. The church is going to be all over your case. All right. And they're going to do it out of love for you, because they want to see you delivered from this problem. Amen. The second reason, after we go through some information about court cases in chapter 6, he comes to verse 9 to 11. Let's read that one together. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The second reason, men, that we need to flee immorality is that fornication and immorality and homosexuality and several of these sexual sins that are mentioned in this text, mentioned in chapter 5 as well, not just the incest, but some of those sorts of things are mentioned at the end of 5 as well. It's discernible issues. But in chapter 6, he's going to tell you this. He's telling you that a reason you need to flee immorality is because it will lead you to hell. Will lead you to hell. I mean, the man who professes to know Christ, but he lives a life of fornication. And men, you cannot do certain things 200 times a year and think you're not being a fornicator. Immoral thinkers and doers, homosexuals, and the various other sexual sins that can be put under the umbrella here of immorality. My brothers, listen, it is so serious that you will be in danger of your soul. Now, one of the ways we understand this is from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, you remember he said in chapter 5 of Matthew that the Bible says, do not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you have lust in your heart for another woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart. You know what he says to do? He says, if your right eye offends you, do what? Cut it out. If your right hand offends you, what? Cut it off. Now, men, I'm not going to go into details about what I think that means. But I think some of you men know that some self-gratification that way, that's probably about some self-gratification that way. With a leading eye, what you look at and what you do with your hand, that immorality of the heart leading to actions for the actions that are unbecoming of a Christian. Let me just tell you, this is serious business. He says you better cut it out. Cut that eye out. He's speaking in hyperbole here. Cut that eye out. Cut that hand off. It's better for you to go into life without an eye and without a hand than to enter into hell with it. You see, he's speaking straightforwardly with you there that this is an issue that is, this is a characteristic of an unbelieving person. So we can't just play with this. I know everybody knows what temptation means. Everybody probably knows what some failure means. But this cannot be the lifestyle. This cannot be who you are. If you're a Christian, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name and by the Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I wish I had more time to develop that. But immorality is always listed among those things. Always listed among those things, which are the most prominent sins of the flesh and indicative of a lost condition. So if you see this as the pattern of your life, this is the pattern of your life, you should be very, very, very careful to see if you're really a believer at all. And, you know, frankly, men, don't be deceived. In other words, this is not the only place where he says in lists like this, don't be deceived, because he's saying, look, it's easy for us to talk ourselves into something that we are not. But the evidence is in the way that we live and behave in our lives, whether our heart has really changed, correct? So the evidence is if you are a fornicator, he says, this is indicative of a non-believer. So flee immorality, because this is a dangerous world you're messing in. It's a danger. That is a dangerous place to be. Okay? It's not just something you can do. It's sort of keep patching things over. It's something you must take care of decisively. Put it to death or it will put you to death. A last reason is that it's just plain stupid to do because you're sinning against yourself. Okay? When you come down in the last section here in chapter 6 to verse 12, he lists in my understanding, and this is a difficult passage, but I think what he's saying in verse 12, I think he's mentioning in verse 12 and perhaps the first part of verse 13, some sort of adages, some sayings that go around in the community. Look at this. Let's see what you think about that. People say out in the community, they have this little slogan or this little motto, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Perhaps others say, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Others might say, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. But Paul's rejoinder to what I think may be adages is, yet the body is not for immorality. Whatever you might say about, you can do this but not be mastered by it and so forth. Whatever adage you might use to get yourself off the hook, remember, the body is not for immorality but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, I may have interpreted, that's a very difficult thing. It may have interpreted wrongly. That's okay. But I think that's the general idea. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her, for he says the two shall become one flesh? But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Why? Every sin that a man commits is outside the body. Maybe that's another slogan. Every sin that a man commits is outside the body. But the immoral man sins against his own body, he says. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now, this is very difficult, and I may not be able to explain it in such a short compass, and I may not even understand it very well myself. But it seems to me that if you sin, if you are one spirit with the Lord, and you sin against the Lord, it seems to me you've sinned against yourself. If you become one with the Lord, and then you go off and you become one with a prostitute, you not only carried the Lord into that situation and sinned against the Lord, but you've also sinned against your own body because of your oneness and your unity with the Lord himself. Now, again, interpreting this is a very difficult thing, and people have various ideas. But I think at the end of the day, we have to say, just dumb, isn't it, to sin against your own self? Right? It's foolish for you to sin against your own self and to sin against the Lord at the same time. So, men, I'm just encouraging here in this short, brief message here before Bruce comes to get serious now about something that's at best, is thwarting your Christian walk. At best, is making you weak, inefficient as a believer. It's distracting you, keeping you from being the man of God that you always dreamed that you would be. Settle the issue. Flee from it instinctively. Just run like Joseph. Don't be like Lot's wife. Joseph was the best fleer. Lot's wife was the worst fleer, right? She became a pillar of salt. In other words, she died there in a place, got coated over with salt. Eventually, she was just a little pillar of salt at the end of it. Don't be like Lot's wife, the Bible reminds us. I mean, what's your alternative? If you don't flee immorality, what do you do? And my experience is this, mentally, and I think my experience in talking with many people physically is this, that if you pause and you give consideration to the possibilities, many times you're doomed. Most times I think you do. It's one thing for the sin to come on the porch. It's another thing to open the door and take it in and think about it. Right? So the best thing you'll ever do, if you're walking down the road and you see a filthy magazine on the ground, what's the best thing for you to do? Instinctively run like you're facing a bull elephant and you have to get out of the way. Right? Something pops up on the screen, instinctively get away and flee from these things, because if you pause, chances are you're in danger of committing some kind of mental and lustful sin. And it's those kind of sins that lead you to physical acts of sin that will shame your life for the rest of your days. My father committed immorality as a 60-something-year-old man at the end of a great life with a wonderful family. He told me one day after about 20 years after this had happened, he said, Jim, he said, there's not a day in my life that I don't wake up regretting what I did. Now, do you want to have that in your life? To this day, my father's 95 years of age. This has been 26 years ago that this happened. To this day, he was a preacher of the gospel. To this day, he struggles with assurance because of what he did. Yet he's been repentant. He's gone back to the churches and confessed to them. He's done everything anybody would ever be told to do. I mean, I think he's He's led people to Christ since then. He's done his best to try to, though he's not in the hasn't been in the pastorate, of course, but he is really, we've seen many evidence, but he can't shake the awfulness of what he did. And so, man, I don't want to be like that. I want to die in integrity. I don't want to shamefully disobey my Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm just telling you that this is dangerous business. I'd have never thought he would have done it, but he did. And there'll be people in this church one day who do awful things, and you'll look at them and you'll think, I never dreamed it would be possible that person would be doing those things. I didn't know that. I didn't know that person was hooked on pornography. You know, just it'll blow you away. So I'm telling you, men, every one of us are in danger. Flee immorality and do it instinctively. That's my message tonight, okay? All right, brother. Yes. All right, I will. He asked me to mention Daryl's book, and I would mention this because I think it's very important. In fact, Daryl and Steve, they're doing some talking now about this book together. It's a good book. It's called Delivered by Desire. We have copies, I think, out there. Is that correct? On the table down the hallway there. Something our ministry publishes. One pastor told me, he said, I think this is the best book on sanctification I've ever read. And I think it is. Daryl is very biblically minded, and he's going to take you through the processes of sanctification, really to deal with any habitual sin. It's not a psychology book. He's definitely... Daryl is a former L.A. County sheriff, and he's a straight shooter. But this is a very good book, and one that you could take your teenage boys through as well. It's a very biblically based book, and there are questions at the end. It could be used for small groups. You can buddy up with somebody and challenge yourself with those questions that will get you into the Bible. And so it's a strong biblical book to deal with sanctification pointed to this particular issue of immoral thinking and living. So get your copy of that, okay? Thank you.